In the world of Torah HaSvekas, in the world of that 2%, 5% of Shas that deals not with specific mitzvah, specific dinim, but how does halacha deal with when we don't know what the facts are? Now, the opening parak of Chulin in general is a very, very important address. We're going to discover soon that the third parak of Bava Basra is a very, very important address in the world of Torah HaSvekas. But now the opening parak of Chulin in general, but specifically Daf Yud, Daf Yudav, Daf Yudbeis, in many ways are the jumping off point. As you already begin to see, the Gemara actually asks the question of where do these come from? Throughout Shas, the Gemara often will explicitly and many other times assume the concepts of Rov or Chazaka. A Rov, as we're going to see, is where you follow the majority, you follow probability. We're going to have to define that. And when we get to Daf Yudaf, the Gemara is going to give us critical categories in terms of breaking down different types of robe and be able to think about robe in a more sophisticated way. On Daf Yud, the Gemara opens by saying, where does this come from? This Ha Milsa, Davar Zeh, the Amara Banan, the Sha'amru Chacham. The rabbis keep saying, you follow Chazaka. It's throughout Shas, and it's obviously it's here in Daf Yud and Chulin, because the last couple of blot in particular, the Gemara has been dealing with different cases of a suffix in the world of Shechita, and more than once the Gemara has made reference, so well, you can follow Chazaka. Right? If you learned Maseches Pesachim last year, particularly Tes and Yud, so you Baruch Hashem had, and even earlier in the Parak as well, you had plenty of opportunities to come across this type of Chazaka. Chazaka in the sense of assuming that what used to be true is still true. We're talking yesterday and earlier today. The word chazak, we've already seen Bava Basra just scratching the surface. The word chazak can mean more than one, refer to more than one concept. We saw two in Bava Basra. And here's the third and the most common one. The official name is chazaka d'me'ikara. D'me'ikara means from the outset, chazaka from the outset. But when you hear the term chazaka used, stam, like right here in Chulin Daf Yud Amudbeis, the Gemara says chazaka, it probably means chazaka the maker. Chazaka the status quo. To assume cheskas bazak im sachem, right? So I checked the dining room and I ensured, I ascertained that there's no chametz. And then I walk out and I don't know whether a rat or a weasel marched in right behind me with fresh chametz in his mouth. So I know that 30 minutes ago or 30 seconds ago this dining room was chametz free, and may or may not have changed. I don't know. So that's a suffix. Is there chametz in the dining room or not? I don't know. But what I do know is that at a previous point in time it was chametz free. So that's it. So 30 minutes ago or 30 seconds ago when I checked, it was vadai baduk. It was vadai not chametz. Now I can't say it's vadai not chametz, but I can say it's bechezkas baduk. I can assume that it's still not chametzik because early, last time I checked, there was no chametz. Or I have a mikveh. So a mikveh needs to contain at least 40 sa'ah of water. One of the many dinim of kashrus ha-mikveh is the shear. At the minimum of at least 40 sa'ah of water, 40 sa'ah is 3 cubic amos. An amah by an amah by 3 amos. Okay. If you're building a mikveh, you got to get involved in the details. But for now, it's the basic concept. The mikveh has a certain minimum. Usually, most mikvehs are built with way more water than that. But let's have a mikveh that's, you know, I measured it yesterday and it you know, it was a little bit more than 40 sub. Can I go to use the mikveh now? Well, if it has 40 sub of water, yes. If it doesn't have 40 sub of water, no. That's not Torah HaSvekas. That's Hilchos Mikvos says 40 sub of water, it's kosher. 39 sub of water, it's not kosher. Torah HaSvekas comes in, I don't know how many sub it is. I checked yesterday. So yesterday I knew it was kosher. Okay. But I didn't check now, so maybe some water evaporated. I don't know. Now, the truth is, the way mikvahs are usually built, that problem is solved because they often use the patterns in the tiles of the mikvah. Many mikvahs have one, that whatever color the tiles are, there'll be one band of tiles that's a different color, and that's often the mark for how high you want the water to be. So then, if there's a measurement built into the mikveh, so you do real-time observation, I see that's enough water. Okay, but let's say the mikveh doesn't have a mark on it. I can't just look and see, oh yeah, there's 40 some. Look, now maybe it's 40, maybe it's 41, maybe it's 39. Yesterday I measured. Do I have to measure every single time I use the mikveh? So at least in principle, it's a fascinating sugya beginning with Sechas Nida. At least in principle, the answer is no. You don't have to check every time. You checked yesterday. Yesterday you knew there was 40 sa, and now it's bechezkas mem sa. The last time I checked, if the last time I checked it was 40 sa, and there's no indication, there's no evidence that something changed. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. So I can rely on the chazaka. Chazaka tells me if it was 40 sa yesterday, it's 40 sa today. Chazaka tells me if 3 minutes ago there was no chametz in this room, I can assume there's still no chametz in this room. Chazaka will tell me, we're going to see when we get to Maseches Kiddushin, Koi Mishnais and Taharas, I have a bowl of chocolate chip cookie dough. 5 minutes ago it was Tahar. I wasn't watching it for the last 5 minutes. Maybe it became Tameh, maybe not. I was out of the kitchen, I don't know what happened. So I can assume, Chazaka tells me, Becheskas Tahar. If it was Tahar 5 minutes ago, I don't know what, I do not know whether anything changed. Chazaka tells me, assume no change. Question?
Do we always bring it down with the
Good. How broadly does this apply? The truth is, you ask about kashrus. What mesechta are we looking at? Mesechus chulin, which is about, certainly the first few prakim, are mesechus chulin is about the halachas of animals, much of which is the halachas of kashrus. So chazaka in the car definitely is in play in the halachas of kashrus. There are specific scenarios where there'll be a particular din drabanan. You cannot rely on the chazaka. And also, as we're going to explore, we're just getting our start here. We're going to explore. There are cases where chazaka, like any other halakhic concept, that has its limitations. Okay. But for now, I want to know there is a concept of chazaka. It often works. Where does it come from? Question.
For the case of like Gedidas Chametz, if I checked and I knew it was a Vadai not, can I then assume maybe something changed for the positive, or does the chazaka also establish for the negative also?
Chazaka can work in both directions. You can have a cheskes hefter, you both have a cheskes hefter. Correct. Chazaka can work in both directions. Let's take a look at where it comes from, and then we'll take a look at Rove. As I said, we're not quite going to get this today. This is a chatzis here. But once we begin to explore what's in your mind, will come with such a vase. Once we begin to explore the interplay between Chazaka and Rove, that's where things that we're going to begin to dig deeper into under the hood. What's actually driving Chazaka and Rove? Let's step by step. The Gemara wants to know where this come from. In Amosam Arabanan, Uki Mil Sachezke. Where does the Chachamim get this idea from? It comes up in Chulin and throughout Shas that you literally Uki is to stand. You're making Davar Al Chezkaso. I don't know what the status of an item is, but I know what the status of an item was yesterday. So I stand it on its prior status. I leave it with its prior status. Interesting, Sarah. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Where is this coming from? The Gemara says, Amar Shmuel bar Nachmanah Rabbi Yonasan, Amar Kra, a pasuk in Parshas Metzora, in the context of Nige Batin, Saras Batin. There's a spot on the wall of the house, and it's suspected to potentially be Saras. The din is that this is one of those few areas of halacha where there's specific qualifications for the posuk. The posuk's Sak in Saras is only binding if the posuk is a Kohen. Now, because Mishnah is saying, ideally, in the Tanakh, the Kohen was the dominant Rebbe. But from the Har Yeshiva, I think we have a disproportionate percentage of our Rebbeim, from some point of view recently, a disproportionate percentage of our Rebbeim is our Kohen. Overwhelmed. I don't know if it's rope, but certainly disproportionate. Anyhow, but the Mishnah says there's such a thing as Kohen Amaretz. Okay, see, the Kohen Amaretz, he'll take a Talmud Chacham along with him. Talmud Chacham will look at the Nega and tell him what the din is, Talmud Tahar, and then the Kohen has to pronounce. Okay, ideally, the Kohen looks on his own, he knows the din. But either way, the Kohen's pronouncement is what makes it Saras. This is unlike a typical Psak Halacha where the facts drive the din. The Kohen, the posuk is just telling you what the din is. Saras is one of the areas where the psak actually creates the status. Until the Kohen says Tamei, it's not Tamei. Okay. At the same time, you need data as well as pronouncement. If a Kohen goes over to a blank wall and says, yeah, your house is Tamei, nothing happened. But if there is a proper nega that fits all the criteria, and the Kohen declares it, then the combination of the two is what creates the status. Muskar, Mukhlat, whatever the status is, but the status of Tzaraas, partially or fully, is a combination of the nega as well as the Kohen's Amir, and that's critical to appreciate what's about to happen in the Gemara. Because the Gemara says that the Pasuk describes the Kohen leaves out first. Yatzak or Rabbi is a Pesach Rabbi. So he walks out the front door. Then his Giras Rabbi is done. Then he pronounces that this house needs to be shut down, quarantined, for 7 days. The question is, Dilma Adinafat, what's so remarkable about that? I said, well, Dilma Adinafat Vasa, maybe by the time he walked out, Batzar, like Shira, the Shira is Batzar. Batzar is the Aramaic for meals. Maybe the Shir, the size of the Nega shrank. One of the many criteria in Hilfus Negaim for a Nega Tzaraas, the Papa's Nega Tzaraas, is it has to meet a minimum Shir. You usually don't have the Shir of Gris. The Gris in modern equivalent is the size of a penny. So if the discoloration is larger than a penny, and if it's all the other criteria, okay, and the Kohen looks at him, he says, okay, this is a problem. He walks down and he pronounces it. It's a mega. All right, we got the masker of the house. But if it's smaller than a penny, then the Kohen could say Tame from today until tomorrow, nothing's going to happen. So the problem is the Kohen doesn't see the Nega when he makes his pronouncement. The Yatza, so maybe by the time they looked out, it shrank. It shrank. So how is he able to say Tamed? How is he able to say Musgar? He doesn't see it. 5 seconds ago there was a Nega, and it was the size of a penny. But maybe in the last 5 seconds it shrank, now it's only the size of 3/4 of a penny. 3/4 of a gris. So how do we know that his Amira did anything? Now, Ahmed raises very strong kashya in Morning Seder, which is, well, what are the chances? What are the chances that, why are we so worried about that? And let me translate that. Who says this is a raya to Chazaka? Maybe this is a raya to
Rove.
Probably. What are the chances that it shrank? In other words, the Rove is that it didn't shrink. So we'll get later on Daf Yud Aleph to the Makor for Rov. But you're trying to prove Chazaka. So the proof for Chazaka is going to be a lot simpler and shorter than the proof for Rov. So Evan's saying, well, maybe this is based on Rov. So strong kasha. I think the answer is that I'm not sure that you can say probably didn't shrink in 5 seconds. This isn't a physical phenomenon. A nige batim is an ace. Ramban actually makes that point at length in the Pirush of Torah. Nigebatim is an ace. So, what are the chances? It came out of nowhere. It could go to nowhere. I'm not sure that you could say you could. The chances that a saw of water evaporated over the course of a minute, very, very, very slim. Because we can study the physics of water, and we can make that assessment. It's highly unlikely that a saw of water disappear in a short period of time. But that the nega shrank, I don't know, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. It's hard for me to talk about numbers. Probably is, probably not. So who knows? But what we have is Chazaka. What we have is Chazaka. Let's see a little bit more. So the Gemara goes on to say, oh, Mehecha Tesi, who says maybe the Kohen is looking, maybe he walks out backwards. And the Gemara said, what is the Gemara answer to that? But number one, the biyatza means you walk out in a normal way, and Rabbi Chanan has elsewhere, not for now, that in general, b'chol tara kula, behaviors are assumed to be kedarkim as opposed to shalom kedarkim. That's not, shalom kedarkim not being the same as kedarkim is not unique to Hilchos Shabbos. Maybe it's greater play in Hilchos Shabbos, but it's true b'chol tara kula. So the Torah says the Kohen walks out, the assumption is he's walking out normal way, facing forward, not that he's backing out of the room. Moreover, the Gemara says, I can't assume if the Kohen is looking from outside at the Nega. Let's say the Kohen walks out. I am a Kohen, I am looking out. Right. Even if I go out there,
So I can still see that sign over there, the rech shots and sign. But I can't see what's over here. So it's only gonna, the coin can only see from outside. If the neg happens to be directly on the opposite wall. But if it's around the side, it's in the corner, the coin is not gonna see it. So it must be, that's our source for chazak. And there the matter settles. Chazak nekar is pretty straightforward. I have the right to assume, again, obviously there are details and parameters, but in principle I have the right to assume, they don't know what the status of something is right now, but I have the right to assume that it's the same as when it was last checked. I have the right to assume that status quo ante is still true. That's chazaka de meikaro, or chazaka for short. It's going to get a lot more complicated when we take a look at rove. I don't know how to follow rove. The Gemara is going to start right away by saying, well, there are two types of rove. As a matter of fact, there are more than two types of rove. But for starters, there are two types of rove. There are talks that are rove in front of us, and there are rove that's not in front of us. We have to figure out what those even mean. It gives us a lot of examples of rove right away. Kamekhtana, Sanhedrin. We have to start processing what are the two categories of rove. It's the first thing you work on with the Chavrusa if you haven't already begun to do so. And then we're going to think about Makaros. And then the Gemara in Kiddushin is going to open the question of what happens now that we have rove, we have chazak, what's the next obvious shaila?
What's the difference?
What's the difference? A practical shaila? Yeah. What happens if rove tells me X and chazak tells me rove tells me tar, chazak tells me tame, rove tells me asa, chazak tells me mutter? How do they? How does the matchup go? And that's going to begin to give us insight to how they work.